an apologies for the delay in starting.
It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2013. We are in function room 6 of the International Beijing Hotel, and this is the ALAC policy discussion part 2. We'll start in approximately 1 minute.
Okay, let's start the recording, please.
We're all set. Fantastic.
So, good afternoon. This is the ALAC policy discussion part 2. Apologies for people who are following us remotely. We had a few logistical issues for us to be able to get lunch in several locations, but now we do have a good quorum here. This afternoon is going to be looking at the at-large policy development twice. First part, discussion of the ALAC working group relations, and then afterwards the at-large policy development involving the at-large structures and the engagement of the at-large structures. And I hope that we'll get a few more of the regional at-large structure representatives by the time we reach that point. After that, we'll have the ALAC Finance and Budget Subcommittee, and we will be speaking to the RALOs about the engagement or how we can engage better, and then finishing just before 1600, speaking to Sébastien Bachollet about the ICANN Meeting Strategy Working Group, the MSWG. So, at-large policy development, the ALAC Working Group Relations, I invite you to open the page of the at-large working groups. One of the ways to continue our scaling up of the community engagement in the ICANN's processes was to start dividing it into different working groups, because it's well understood that some people are more interested by one part of the work and might be more knowledgeable about something than others. It's indeed very difficult today to be aware of absolutely everything that takes place at ICANN. And realizing that we are all volunteers, we cannot just spend 24 hours a day working on the issues that ICANN has before us or puts before us. So there are working groups which were started a few years ago and which have grown over time. In the morning, we had some updates from some of the working groups. And this is really where most of the policy discussion takes place, at working group level now. I've had some feedback from RALOs or from ALSs in RALOs who only follow the RALO discussions and believe that there isn't very much that at-large is doing. Well, that's because the discussions don't take place at RALO level, and we will be discussing this a little bit later on, but they take place primarily in those working groups. Now, several of the working groups that you have on that page are internal ones, at-large engagement in ICANN, and the structure, accountability, and transparency of ICANN. They're more procedural. Some are more policy-based. The IDN policy, the new GTLD working group, which is chaired by Avery Doria and does an enormous chunk of work on everything related to new GTLDs. The message really here is to get people more involved with working groups. And I wanted to kick off the conversation by having you share a little bit about your experience with the engagement of volunteers and how could we get volunteers to engage more with working groups? How can we get them to be interested in taking part? and you know, as a sort of first step. And then I also wanted Alan to share with us some of the external working groups that he's been involved with. You will have all noticed a few months ago an email that he sent to the at-large lists, where he has been engaged in so much work as GNSO liaison. Of course, he's very well aware of what goes on in the GNSO, and he has therefore been at the heart of many of the discussions in the GNSO. But there should really be, I mean, we can't just rely on one person or two or three people. We have 155 ALSs out there. We have quite a few people in our community, and I'm sure, judging from some of the debates that we've had here, that there are other people in the community who are equally, well, I can't say equally as knowledgeable as Alan, because Alan is extremely knowledgeable, but who would like to follow on, and we've all started somewhere and then grown. I see that Eduardo has put his hand up, so I hand the floor over to Eduardo Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Eduardo Diaz. One of the impressions I have about impressions is that in talking to some of the ALSs, they think that, you know, like in a work, an ALAC working group, they don't know if they're allowed to work in those working groups. There's an impression about that. They say, just go ahead and work on it. In fact, I just recruited a person that is not even in ALS. It's a fellow, and she wants to work in a working group. I said, sure, come and work with us. And I just recruited her as part of the ALAC Rallo in the summit group. And I said, you get involved that way, then the I can work. So to finish, the bottom line is there's an impression out there, and this is my own personal opinion, that there is a confusion that, you know, being in a LAC, you have to be part of a LAC to work in a working group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. In line with that, I think we better scrutinize our website and what we say to call them at-large working groups, just as they're GNSO working groups, not GNSO council working groups. We may use the terms interchangeably sometimes, and it's probably to our detriment to do it. So it's just something we should keep in mind and perhaps check to make sure our web pages aren't saying something we don't want them to say.
Thank you very much, Alan. Maybe we can make this an action item for staff. And I'm afraid there might be a lot of action items for staff on this. Heidi Ulrich?
Thank you, Olivier. This is Heidi for the record. Alan, do you mean our wiki pages or the web pages?
Anything you get to from a browser. So I'm not differentiating. And I'm not saying we're calling them ALAC working groups. I don't know. We may be diligently using the term at large. But if the impression that Eduardo is relaying is correct, and I have no reason to believe it isn't, let's just make sure we're not making any dumb mistakes in nomenclature, which end up turning away people. And we may not. I just don't know.
Holly?
Also, just a thought. I know that stuff goes out to ALAC when there's a policy, but comments being sought. There ought to be a specific action item on all of the AP, all of the RALO chairs, to then forward that to and start to have a process within the RALO. Maybe we can talk about it to say, this issue has come up, this is why it's important, and then do a little bit of background, because sometimes we can look at stuff and go, oh, that's really important, but sometimes actually I'm not sure people who aren't living and breathing ICANN necessarily understand the importance of something. So maybe there's a way of doing some translation other than what we do now, which is just we now just put in the for comment, and it may be that RALOs themselves, or maybe at large, we think this is how we can help. Alan's got a response.
Thank you, Holly. Alan Greenberg.
As far as I know, we're pretty diligent about echoing things everywhere. I know when I send out things, I send it to ALAC and at large, and typically staff then forwards it to ALAC announce. And maybe we should call it at large announce next time, but anyway. And often it includes something in the ALAC one saying, please distribute your RALO. The bottom line is, people don't redistribute, and the people who get it directly tend to ignore them. That's not good, but that is where we are.
Thank you, Alan. I wanted to have a show of hands. Are we? How many people here are ALAC announced? So everyone is, yeah? No, it's just to find out, how many people are in ALAC announced?
Every ALAC member and regional leadership must be, because staff is supposed to put us there.
Correct, but I want to check also if people who are not part of ALAC, or who are not on the committee itself, the 15-member committee, are they also on ALAC announced? But it's just because I see staff does forward many of the news and so on onto ALAC announced, but I don't know whether we have every single member on there, or people who want to become a member, and maybe it's not obvious enough then that the first step with keeping in touch with what's going on at ALAC might be to be on ALAC announced. Just a thought. Maureen? Can't hear you.
Sorry, as well as Alec Discuss.
What's your name?
We get. Oh, sorry. Maureen Hilliard for the transcript. We generally tend to get both of them. And if the announced ones, are they just supposed to go to the 15 members?
No, yes. Perhaps we could ask staff to give us a rundown on the lists again, to just remind us all what the different lists are, because I think there's some confusion that is recurrently coming up. So, Matt, perhaps, or Heidi? The main list, the at-large, ALAC, announce, so discuss, goodness, what else?
There's a worldwide. This is Matt for the record. There's a worldwide, which goes to everyone. There's the ALAC announce.
I don't know of any list that's called worldwide. Oh, at large worldwide, yes, but maybe not just worldwide.
I just don't have it in.
I've studied them all recently. I can do that if you'd want.
Go ahead, Alan, please.
There is the one that is called at large at, which often bears the text name worldwide, but that's not part of the mailing list name. That is a self-subscribed list. You're on it or you're not, depending on how you feel. And anyone can send to it. The ALAC announce is a self-subscribed list to which staff automatically adds ALAC members and regional leadership. Only you and staff can send to that one. And then there's the five RALO discuss lists, all of which I believe are self-subscribed. And a new person in the region, a new individual in the region has to self-subscribe, although I believe staff adds the leadership of any new ALS to that and the ALAC announce list.
Renalia?
Ellen, I have a question. So the at-large worldwide list is not equivalent to the regional discussion list in total?
They are self-subscribed, and you can be on one and not the other in any order.
For the transcript, and since Rinaldi had her microphone off, could you please?
In my mind, that is actually a disaster, because if I wanted to send something out to the whole at-large community, automatically what comes to mind, I'd send to at-large worldwide, and I would not sort of like copy all the different regional discussion lists. It's not an automatic second step process. So that's why I think it's a disaster.
We are just about to embark in the next week or so on a final review of our mailing lists, and we could change the rules should we want to. But I warn you, there's not an intuitively obvious way to do it.
Thank you, Alan. Let me just then ask a few more questions. Tijani, okay. I'll ask a few questions and then I'll let you speak afterwards. So how many of you are subscribed to your regional list, your regional discuss list? Okay, so you're okay. And the at large at atlarge.icann.org, which is the general at large list that anybody can post to. Okay, I've heard someone doesn't know of that one. That's the one which anyone can post to. That probably is the first one that our members from ALSs or even people who are not technically registered can self-subscribe to and can discuss. There's very low traffic on there, and in fact, some of the traffic on there is totally irrelevant, and some people get a bit frustrated about this. But at the same time, I think they're unaware that if you want to discuss specific policy items, that would probably take place over in the working group lists. So that might be one thing that we need to explain at some point. The ALAC list, I gather it's just all the ALAC and regional leads, and only the ALAC and regional leads can...
Liaisons,
yeah. ALAC at atlarge.icann.org. And then ALAC announce at atlarge.icann.org is the announce list. And I think we should really make it clear to newcomers that this should be subscribed to this, perhaps. Heidi?
Hi, this is Heidi. For the record, every new at-large structure representative is sent a copy of the ALS starter kit, which Matt or I will put into the AC chat in a moment. And that very clearly lists all of the various mailing lists. Also, Matt subscribes all new ALS representatives to the relevant mailing lists for their region, which includes ALAC, at-large, the worldwide, et cetera, depending on who they are. Yeah, as far as I know.
Okay, thank you, Heidi. Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier. Let's be French. Why not? Yes. Heidi just said...
You're doing a Xavier Calvez thing, aren't you? No. I will now speak French. So, let's get on. Go ahead, Tijani. Allez, en avant.
Oui. Heidi vient de dire que
yes, Heidi just said that every new comer is subscribed to ALAC worldwide. So Renalia's concern no longer exists because everyone is on that list. Still, I propose that this be reviewed, and it's better that it's Alan who do it, because he's the person who most studied this list, and he knows very well what's on them and what's not on them. So if we ask Alan to make a list of lists, and to tell us who's on each list, and we hold a specific meeting for that, to give him the chance and to give everyone the chance to receive these announcements when the announcements are addressed to everyone. But I don't think participating in a working group is really related to these information points. Certainly, those informations are important, and people don't receive the information in time or at all, in fact. But what's most important, I think, and I assure you that if you're not interested in something, you will never engage in a working group. So what's crucial is to get people interested. How do we get them interested? That's another discussion, and I think we could look into it. There are some tough subjects, and there will always be an Alan Greenberg to do it, or someone else. But as regards to the other subjects that everyone can access, in getting people interested, not materially, is enough. They should be interested, though. And we also have to write rules. For instance, I propose that participating in the summit operation be equivalent to an active participation in at-large work. And so each of us should find a means to participate one way or another. If we don't have this sort of distinction between those who are useful and those who are not, there will always be someone who's useless taking over the place of someone who would be useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Says Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. Next, we have Alan Greenberg.
Okay, a couple of things. When an ALS joins, I believe we add the lead rep for the ALS to the various lists. We've always worked on the assumption there's more than one person in every ALS. We're not sure if it's always true, but we've always believed it. So we're talking about a much wider list than the ones that are automatically subscribed, number one. Number two, it is not unknown that someone after 3 days says, "What's all this email?" and unsubscribes themselves, which is allowed. There's nothing to stop it. So we do have lists which we think all of the official reps are on the ALAC Announce. Many of them are on the ALAC Worldwide. Many of them are all on the regional discuss lists. The exact intersection of them is difficult to know. One could import them into a database and figure out who's on what list. I'm not sure it's worth the effort. But the bottom line is, we know that there are a lot of people, hundreds and hundreds of people who receive these messages. Typically, nobody responds. That's the problem we need to address, not to make sure that the mailing lists are perfect, which is something we should do. But we're not capturing the real problem.
But Alan, do we have the address of all the members of each ALS? We don't have. We have only the addresses of the representative, as you said.
Well, we have. A lot of members do self-subscribe if the ALS is doing a good job at telling them about ICANN. We don't know to what extent many ALSs are doing that.
Sorry, can I make a point of order? This is Evan speaking. We're talking about mechanics here. This is a policy afternoon. We always run short of time on these things. And if there's issues of what is the factual of who's subscribed what, we can tackle that as a technicality, as a matter of policy versus implementation, to use a hot topic this week. This is a policy afternoon, and so I'm going to suggest if there's issues to do of mechanics, of who's subscribed or whatever, that's an issue of mechanics that we can take offline. In terms of strategy and policy, getting back to the stuff that is actually up there, how do we have good relationships between ALEC and the working groups? How do we increase participation? This is all relevant. This is all necessary. The mailing lists are one particular tool of that. So I'd like to try and get back on track of that and less onto the mechanics of how the mailing lists operate. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Alan. Heidi. Did I say Alan? No, Evan. Sorry. Heidi.
Just very, very briefly, this is Heidi. Tijani, if I could suggest that rather than asking Alan to take on that tremendous job of sorting through all of the at-large lists, that we ask our IT department to do that. Okay. And then I think that Olivier wanted to add just one point about bringing on new at-large structures and informing them.
You think well, Heidi. It's Olivier for the transcript. Yes. One of the things that could be done, and I highly urge that it would be done, would be to have some webinars for our newly arrived ALSs on many of the topics that we actually deal with, so that, I mean, it is part of capacity building, but it's something that we can do, it's something that staff is able to do, and we've actually conducted some webinars recently. They're not particularly onerous, and they're very helpful. The feedback we've had so far is that they're very helpful. They also create content which can be referred to later on. I have to waive this participating in at large, of course. This is one of the things that we can do to move forward. Of course, then, with the view to then get people interested in the working groups and join the working groups and move in that direction. I've got a queue here at the moment. I've got Yaovi, Victor, and Salah. So first, Yaovi Atahun, and then Garth. I know you. Well, some people will have put their hands up. Yeah, you are okay. I'll put you after Yaovi.
Oh, Yaovi speaking. I just want to remind us that Alan already sent something and request for comment about the list. So I assume that we responded, and then because he sent everything, requested a comment, and then we also informed people that there is a leak. So there's, I think it is the work is from our side. So the next is that he said that from each ILS we have at least one rep, and there's not only one person per ILS. So I think the question is from the work is from us. So we are here. When we are back home, our members, are they regularly informed about what is happening? If I'm not informing people, I have to be sure that I'm present 100% of the time. I can talk about all the issues. So if I cannot do that, I have to find in my ILS or in my region or people I'm representing, I have to share the information with them. So that if I'm not ready to contribute and there is a need to contribute, somebody else can contribute. So the problem is there. So I think we ILSs and participants, our ALAC members, we have a role to play, because if you are not sharing the information, if you are the only people in the country or in the region and we are not sharing back the information, or we are here, people are not don't know what is happening at ICANN in Beijing. People don't know there is a meeting. So that is the point. So I think if you are able, we have to find a strike. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. People, even at the local level, people are not participating, but you have to find a way to have other people contribute. Even we represent the ILS, but other people should be informed. So if I'm not present or I cannot participate in the meeting, another person can participate. We cannot believe that we have an ILS who is not participating in the meeting, but he is in the list. So if I'm not present, there is another person. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayovi. And I'm holding on to your question, because that will go into the second part of our agenda, which will be the ALS engagement. Garth?
Thank you, Olivier. Sorry to trample on Evan's request to not be talking about function, but I might say something dangerous and suggest that email lists are rapidly becoming an outdated mode of communication, and that for this purpose, for collaboration and working groups, we should have a tool which allows for task and results and goal-driven methodology. Email is great for talking back and forth between people. It is not good for this kind of work.
Thank you, and that will be an action item for the for Dev further down for his working group on technology task force. Alan, did you want to respond specifically to this?
I and Heidi want to respond. We are not talking about mailing lists to do the work. We're talking about waking people up that there is something to do work on. But let's stop talking about mailing lists, please.
And Heidi is just making signs.
This is Heidi. Very quickly, again, I encourage all of you who are interested in this collaboration issues and mailing lists or non-mailing lists to come to the Technology Task Force meeting tomorrow, 9:30 to 10:30. We're going to be having Chris Gift, who was here Sunday, who's going to be talking about collaboration tools, non-mailing lists, et cetera. So I think that you might wish to, that might benefit you.
Thank you, Heidi. Victor Donang.
Thank you, Olivier. Victor Donang, ISO Cameroon chapter. I think my point goes to the second part about Alice's engagement, so I stop
hold it
here.
For a moment. Thank you, Victor. Salaneta Tamani Kamawaro.
Salaneta Tamani Kamawaro for the transcript. Very quickly, in terms of policy development, just a few brief comments, and I'd just like to quote the exact words that was used by one of our very active working group members, Chaitanya from India. He mentioned that his first experience in going into the wiki was like he was going into a forest. And this is somebody who I consider to be very, 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 very technically competent and that sort of thing, who's very capable in terms of transitioning. And so if he's having that kind of feeling, imagine the average end user as far as policies are concerned. And one of the first things that I'd like to suggest is, I suppose the issue would be in terms of knowledge management, particularly pertaining to policies, how we present the information. And one of the things I'd like to suggest, and I suppose this is something we're also exploring within the CB working group, would be, A, one of the things we would like to see would be a chronology of historical information. And I think the constituency that sets the pace in the whole of ICANN is the GNSO. We can take a page or two from them. I remember when we first joined the ALAC, and we were part of the IDN working group. One of the first things we proceeded to do was to create a chronology of historical documents pertaining to IDNs. And I was thinking, for policies, if the same can be done, where you have not only the chronology, but you can also have like a summary, what happens is you don't have just one or two person being, two people being the policy experts in that subject area, but you allow for the various ALSs to, at their leisure, access the chronology of documents or access a summary of how that policy has developed and has evolved. That's all.
Thank you very much, Sala. Dev, I'm going to short-circuit Heidi in walking over to you. Your use of technology is despicable, young man. Yeah, a computer is not there for you to put your arms on. Is the technology task force working with knowledge management as well, or does it just look at the technology itself?
Thank you, Devananta Luxing speaking. Strictly speaking, I would say yes, but I mean, I would say in an indirect way as such. I mean, what we have received lots of concerns, and what Sala has said, you know, that, you know, navigating the wikis is like, you know, going into a huge tech forest and you get lost. You know, I've received that comment from many persons, you know, that trying to define information is very difficult. How the wiki is organized. Tomorrow's session, I'll try to outline some of how the at-large space is structured and possibly one or two tips to clear that, get to the destination. At least, I won't say about clearing the forest, but at least getting to the actual right tree. But swinging back now to the issues regarding getting more persons involved in the mailing, in the working groups, I think what has to happen is that at least once a week, the schedule for all the working groups has to go up. And then what happens then is so that at the beginning of the week, okay, here's what's happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is the schedule, and and I think we could probably work with the calendar that, you know, the at-large calendar, and here's the links, you know, and at least that will at least one make people aware. Here's the working group. It's having a meeting. It's having a meeting, so, you know, feel free to jump in, you know, listen in. Secondly, there's been a huge improvement since January with regards to the production of transcripts. And with happening within at least 4 days after a meeting, which is a huge, huge, huge benefit. And I think this is really a huge opportunity now to allow persons that are not in a working group directly, but at least can follow what the work is happening and then can decide, hey, I want to jump in. This also allows, I think, also in terms of transcripts, that could be machine translated. And the wiki actually does a fairly good job of the machine translation of the PDFs. So, so these are some of the ideas. But the core suggestion, let's have the schedule of all the working groups when they're having it, have it posted to the ALAC announce, which I think as a policy, in terms of policy, all the at-large structures representatives must be subscribed to. I think that, you know, for the ALS is not to be aware of what's happening at the ALAC level is bizarre to me. So I think that's a policy. They must be subscribed to ALAC announce. No question. Right.
Thank you very much, Dev. Question with regards to the calendar, the ALAC calendar that is published. What can you link that to? Are there any tools or things that you can link that to be told about what's happening on any given day?
Well, okay, thank you. Devananta Luxing speaking again. When you subscribe to the calendars, there's a possibility of getting email notifications. So, for example, for myself, because there's so many work going on, I simply get set it for email notifications 2 hours before and then 15 minutes before. That's where I know, there's a meeting, there's going to be a call in the next 2 hours or hour. So I think if you can set up the email notifications from the calendar to go to a general list, and then that goes to everybody. So in other words, we're subscribing everybody to the calendar in an indirect way via email. If they want to subscribe to the calendar directly, great. But
How do you do that?
Sorry, what, to do what specifically?
Subscribe to the calendar.
Okay, this is Devananti speaking again. There's an item on the Technology Task Force workspace which talks about how to subscribe to the calendar. I think earlier on the at-large on the Skype chat, there was a the Beijing calendar was posted. The links were posted so that people could subscribe to the entire Beijing schedule. But in terms of for the calendar to get email notifications, I think we could work up. I think that's more of a technology issue, and I think that's solvable. So that any calendar event can be emailed and then be forwarded to every list.
Thank you, Dev. Before Rinaldi has a question, but before that, another quick poll, show of hands. How many of you know about the calendars, the subscribing and all this? Do you know about the calendars? Oh. How many of you use the calendar, i.e. how many of you are subscribed to the calendar and receive notifications about what's going on?
This is Eduardo. What I do is I link my Google Calendar to that calendar, and it just shows up in my calendar. That's it.
Yes, Rinalia Abdulrahim.
Thank you, Chair. Rinalia Abdulrahim for the transcripts. I just want to say I did exactly what Eduardo did, which is to link it to my Google Calendar, and it helps me get organized for the ICANN calls and meetings that are being held. It also tells me what's happening. Even though I'm not participating in that, at least I'm aware something is happening and there are updates. The question that I have for Dave to help us navigate the wiki better is that when they generate these locator addresses, the URLs, it always ends up in squiggles, and it annoys me so much that we cannot put a proper name that can help us with searches. So if you can address this for tomorrow's technology or tech workshop, that would be really good. Thank you.
Thank you, Rinalia. Do you think that it would be a good thing to perhaps put together a guide to setting up your calendar and would that help? I see a number of people. Would that help in working group relations? In other words, you could subscribe to the calendar for a working group and you would know that you've got a call on this day and that day. I must admit, as far as I'm concerned, I need to have that calendar because otherwise it's totally impossible to keep track. I see Evan and Eduardo. Are you just twiddling your hands or are you putting your hands up? Twiddling your hands. No, because Evan is doing the same thing but with one hand. But I take it that Evan wanted to speak. Evan Lipovic.
I got to learn sign language. This is Evan speaking. Not only do I use the calendars very well, as a matter of fact, I wish I could use them even more. Things like the working groups and when ALAC members are participating on GNSO working groups. I know that on more than one occasion I have missed a GNSO working group call because I've looked at my calendar and not seen anything there and forgot to put it in manually. So not only do I almost depend on them too much. So if it's possible and it's not too much work to also add the GNSO working groups on which there is at large representation, that would be extremely valuable. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Let me ask Heidi about this, and let me also ask Heidi a second question right afterwards. But first, this one.
This is Heidi. Just to confirm, I heard the question correctly. You're asking that when that working group list is sent on Mondays, that those at-large members who are part of GNSO working groups, those GNSO working groups are also included.
That's correct. Okay. Such as the Thick Who Is working group of GNSO, the Red Cross IOC working group, okay, and other ones in which at-large members participate.
Okay, Gisela is listening to this, and I'm going to ask her to write the answer. I believe the answer is yes, because Gisela also, and many of the Secretariat support handle both GNSO and at-large working groups, so they would be able to do that. So Gisela, can you write? Okay, there she is. Let's see what she's... I think that the answer is going to be yes. Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Gisela.
That would be great. Thank you. And second question to Heidi. Is there any document or documentation that staff might have written, IT staff or whoever, that explains how to subscribe to the calendars, how to manage that? Because I'm not sure whether
we have to write something or whether it's already been drafted. Oh, I see another person wiggling their hands. That's Devan Antilak Singh.
Thank you, Devan Antilak Singh speaking. Indeed, this is one of the tasks that the Technology Task Force has to come up with in terms of providing a help desk type service to solve these type of issues. So there is a draft article already on the Technology Task Force workspace talking about the calendar and so forth. It hasn't been up. What I'm thinking of doing is probably doing a short video of some sort, just to walk through the actual steps, because it's probably still a little too technical at this point. But I mean, I'm willing to take this as an action item.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. And lastly, on this point, because we did start with the working group relations. Does anyone have any suggestions to promote the working groups better than we are at the moment? Garth?
Thank you, Garth Bruin. We're a volunteer community, and good volunteers are actually very, very hard to find. And many volunteers volunteer in many projects. So incentives are good. Incentives are very, very good to get people to the table, and incentives come in many different kinds. In terms of getting somebody to a working group, it's also important to have them present. So, of course, travel sponsorship comes up as one of the first things. And we kind of have an all or nothing situation here with travel sponsorship. You either get full or you get nothing, and you're on your own to come to the meeting. I think if maybe we can come up with a way to do a partial to incentivize people to come and work and, as we say in the States, earn their keep, and then work their way up to a full sponsorship. Just an idea.
Thank you, Garth. I've got Evan in the queue, and then Yaovi. Evan?
Thanks. Once upon a time, it used to be practice that every member of the ALAC, all of the 15, were assigned a role of either a chair or liaison of a working group and were expected to participate in it. In the at-large summit at Mexico, every working group had a rapporteur and had a chair that came from ALAC and came from the regional leadership. It was a requirement. If somebody's elected to ALAC, I don't think it's too much to ask that their participation is expected on at least one working group of their choice. I don't think it's too much to ask. And even something as small as that could go a long way to making the working groups more effective and sharing the load. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. I think that is the case. I've looked at the different mailing group lists and so on, and all ALAC members are involved in some of the working groups to various extents, one extreme being Alan, but that's a different thing. Yaovi, and then we'll have Oksana, and I'm really sorry for this, Oksana, but we kind of have been going with the flow. Yaovi Atuhun.
Yaovi speaking. I want to say that something that can help is technology. And I want to disagree with Brent that email should be the most important, because whatever busy or email and alert are the most important. Whatever busy you are, you'll receive an email. If there is something through the technology they are using, email should be the most used. Whatever busy you are, you receive an email about something happening, about a meeting, you read it on an alert. So this new technology, sometimes they require additional tools that you are not ready to have. So email we should keep in mind that email is very, very important. Whatever technology you are implementing, we have to link it to email. This is the only way to help us to keep us informed.
Thank you very much, Yaovi. And to close the discussion on this, Oksana Prikhodka.
Thank you, Olivier. Oksana Prikhodka for the record. I would like to discuss, first of all, the encouragement of members to participate in working group. Of course, first of all, it's sponsorship for participation in meetings in person, but besides it, recognition before a local community. For example, if Olivier will come to IGF UA and say great thanks to other members of our group for participating in any documents and so on, it would be really great, and even maybe during remote participation. And the missing my point about email using friendly, because we have to understand that this is the first stage of participation of new LSs. And when you urged me to subscribe to this email, it was absolutely ununderstandable for me. And without participation again in person in your meeting, I could not understand anything. So email list has to be a priority for all our activity, not from only technological point of view, but from understanding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Oksana, and I hope that staff has taken note of this because we've seen in the wider ICANN world the launch of many initiatives that the CEO has shepherded along with his different VPs, and this is, I think, something that pretty much mirrors what he's heard, and I guess something we've heard. Recognition of volunteers is something that's really important. I've heard it from at least two people here. In various different ways. It doesn't need to be a cash incentive, but it can be all sorts of incentives. And that's something we need to really work on. I see that Matt is doing some hand signals, and so there must be some kind of problem, or there might be a remote participant question or comment.
This Matt. Is Matt, for the record. It's a remote participation from Gisela. She wanted to say that she wants to add something about the dial-out requests. She notes, we send numerous requests to the usual dial-out members, and we only ever hear from the same people. We then spend quite a bit of time trying to connect members to calls. Please remember to confirm your participation on work group calls and your dial-outs.
Thank you very much, Matt. And I think that we're moving then slowly towards the part two, which is the ELS relations. Tijani?
And that's exactly what Gisela said. That's exactly what I said before. People are not interested to fill in the doodle. How do you expect them to participate?
It's a very fair point. In fact, I've been caught a couple of times on this one. Not filling the doodle and then ending up with a time which was unsuitable for me. But never mind, it still was on the call. Right. Sorry, I'm just... let's go back now then. Let's move on with the ALS participation. How to get the ALSs more and more engaged. There was a question earlier or comment that Yaovi made, which... Well, it was a question. How do we inform our members in our ALSs? To what extent do ALSs inform the members? How do we inform our ALSs ourselves? Do we need to use a certain chain, any specific ways? I see Tijani's put his hand up. Go ahead, Tijani.
Thank you. Oui, français, comme ça.
We normally tell our ALS through the teleconferences, the monthly teleconferences. Through those calls for the AFRALO, we have an item about the recent activities of ALAC and the future and recent activities of AFRALO members. So it is an item for information. We know that those who are interested and who are participating will be informed. We also have some mails about all the work we do and the working group. But Heidi also worked. And the group of Heidi also work on that issue, on that item.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Oksana Prekhodka?
Oksana, thank you, Olivier. Oksana Prekhodka, for the record, to attract members of ALSs and members of community and the representatives of all end users, we have to raise relevant issues. I am extremely serious. For example, just discuss situation with Cyrillic Ukrainian CCTLD, it would be great achievement for ICANN, and it can break the wall between Ukraine and ICANN.
Thank you. Thank you, Oksana. You as a representative of your ALS, do you take part, because this is a highly specialized part of work, and I guess we've just spoken about working groups, so I believe that would fit really well in the IDN working group. Do you think there should be local working groups as well? Because some parts of the world, for example, Asia might have a lot more involvement with IDNs than Latin America and Caribbean. Or maybe not, or different involvement.
Absolutely. Cyrillic IDNs, they are now in China. They are now maybe in the Caribbean and elsewhere. And we have to create common rules, and we have to receive any help from ICANN to make these rules very reliant and very transparent and accountable. And all post-Soviet countries, all Russian-speaking countries will benefit from this process.
So, Oksana, wouldn't this be something that the IDN working group would be dealing with rather than a local RALO? Okay. I asked a question. Oksana, wouldn't this be something that the IDN working group should just be dealing with at a global level? Because my understanding then, if it's a global problem, a global question, then it needs to be dealt with at global level.
Actually, I think it has to be within IDN working group, because there is some difference between new GTLD and IDN principles. As far as I understand, new GTLD, it's just commercial projects, but I see a lot higher level of public interests protection regarding new GTLD than regarding IDN. It seems to me it's not correct.
Okay, thank you, Oksana. We have Susan Chalmers, who has joined us to the table. Susan, you have the floor.
Hey, thank you. So just in responding to your question, myself as a newcomer to the space and also relatively new to the environment, I think perhaps I could offer my thoughts on how I try to engage Internet and Zed members, because I think there are a lot of synergies, or there should be a lot of synergies in between the ways in which I should hope to engage members on topics of interest that aren't necessarily familiar to them or difficult to approach. So I guess if there are few, I think the best way is to present in a very simplified format. Obviously, it's going to be overarching in general, but just a statement of what the organization's purpose is, what its goals are, where it falls within the broader context, and just very, very simple, approachable statements. And then also, people are going to engage on issues that are of relevance to them. So Internet and Zed, for example, my portfolio, I work on stuff from copper to fiber transition to copyright and everything in between. So you only get people who want to engage on one of those topics, or perhaps two or three. So I think that having a short description of the current issue with opportunities for engagement, be it a doodle poll or invitations to other fora, I think that, sincerely, I think that could help. And even if it's in a PDF document, that could be sent out. Just very, very simple, because that's how I think you could bring in more people.
Thank you, Susan. If I could ask you, what lists are you, as the representative of your ALS, what lists are you subscribed to?
Just in general?
For at large. With an ICANN. No. We're talking specifically here about the at large structures, the working group, the lists, and so on, mailing lists that you're subscribed to. I'm not asking whether you subscribe to Vogue and goodness what else, and Times Magazine and stuff.
Modern Science.
Modern Science, there you go.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember.
That disturbing, oh dear.
So, yeah, there are so many. The ALAC.
So if I could help you.
I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Yeah, if I could help you. I'm asking you the question because are you the sole channel of information between your ALS and what's happening in the at-large world and in the ICANN world?
Yes, I am. So I have been following some of the discussions, particularly with reference to the closed generics working group. And we did participate in that. I'm relatively new to the at-large structure. So I'm still myself, mea culpa, still trying to find the best way to engage. So any tips would also be welcomed.
Okay. Are you aware that you are able to subscribe more than one person from your ALS to different working groups and so on? Because I think it's very difficult for one person to be able to channel everything in and out, especially because some issues are more technical, some issues are more on the legal side, very varied. And except if you have Superman and Superwoman, who knows absolutely everything about everything, I think it's something that people don't see as a challenge. That's something that I've noticed. I see a lot of people waving hands, but we have Fatima Cambronero, who's next in the list. She has a big smile because she's got the next one.
Thank you, Olivia. Fatima Cambronero, for the record, I will be speaking Spanish.
This experience that we have in Lac Rallo regarding the increasing of participation of ALSs, we have shared with you this in other opportunities, but since we have new members, I think it is important to share this experience with you once again to see if you can make the most of it. Since Costa Rica meeting, where Lac Rallo had the capacity building program, we started with Natalia an initiative to have in our Lac Rallo monthly calls the first hour during the first part of our teleconference, a capacity building session. We don't need to invest money in that, or we don't need to invest much effort. We among our the people in the community, we train ourselves, and this year we still keep on using that program. We had a survey sent out to the whole Lac Rallo community so that the members may decide which topics they would like to receive training on. We extended a bit longer. We went beyond ICANN, and we deal with governance issues now. And there was, based on this program, a better participation of ALS's members in the monthly calls. And they stay in the call, and there are more people participating now in the working groups, not only in Lac Rallo working groups, but also in at-large and ALAC working groups. There are many people working now, so we believe that with this experience, we have achieved some good results. Of course, we need more participation, but we have made a lot of progress. Probably this might be useful for you, our experience, so if you're interested, we can collaborate with you, and we will keep on using this program this year. And I would like to mention that one of the topics that was voted to receive capacity building has to do with the use of tools to improve participation. For example, the use of at-large wiki page. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fatima. And I think that you've actually touched exactly on the sort of thing that I wanted to also touch on in this meeting. The RALOs, in my view, this is a personal point of view, but I think the RALOs are the most competent people to be close to their ALSs and to know what their ALSs really need. And so I think that the RALOs have a vital part to play in conveying that information simply because they are there, conveying it locally, and getting that capacity building, not in the wider sense of capacity building, but basically getting the input, getting the ALSs engaged actively, and getting their interest, their active interest on a local level. And by that, it's not only informational, but also being able to engage the members, engage the ELS member, so the representatives, and maybe even other people within that ELS to come on the mailing list, to come into the working groups, and to get involved more. And I must say, looking at what Lacrallo has done, that is a pioneering thing. So I'm very pleased to see the raise in the interest in the region. Especially, I have also noticed some remote participation from your part of the world. It's really, really good to see that, and I hope that other RALOs could follow this sort of model. It's more work, but it's very, very satisfying to see involvement grow at RALO level. And I guess if involvement takes place at RALO level, then involvement will continue in the working groups and in the ALAC. And it's a whole pyramid that we have to do here. I've been a bit longer than I wanted to be, maybe, on this answer. We've got now... I think I've lost my track here. No. Holly. Yes, next is Holly. I've got Holly, Sala, Renalia, and Jose Arce in the queue. So, Holly.
Yeah, Susan, what I was going to suggest, when you first of all attend tomorrow's session with Dev, we're all going to learn a lot. Holly Reich, for the record. Once you find the policy page, the at-large policy page, it's really useful because you can just run your eye down and see what is current, when the deadlines are, who's doing it, and comment. When we finally got the hookup between the Confluent and that, suddenly it all became easy. And I think that maybe with tomorrow, I'm certainly going to be listening to Dev. But Dev is smile, Dev, that he did. Thank you. It becomes really useful. It's a really good place to start, to say, this is what's on. And then you can go through and see the things that you feel competent about or you've got an opinion about. And it's become a lot easier than it was to find that page and then to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly. Next is Salaneta Tamanika Wamaro.
Salaneta Tamanika Wamaro for the transcript. Just very quickly, just share from my experience, I've literally, like most of the other ALEC members, have been sending stuff apart from the RALO, to ALS. And we experimented, I suppose, with having a separate mailing list to deal with ICANN-related matters because somebody had suggested setting aside working groups. And I think most of you would recognize or probably share similar challenges is that the uptake, particularly in terms of comments on the policies or comments on the statements, are something that people are not ready or are they very reluctant to participate, either because, A, they don't know, or let me change that. A, they don't care. They have other millions of other things to do. Or B, they don't know. Or C, it's like, I suppose, irrelevant, which is probably the same category as A. And this is one of the fundamental reasons why we've been trying to push capacity building. And so one of the things in terms of communicating with the ALS at the board meeting last year, it was an AGM, Maureen. Maureen happens to be the chair of the ALS that I belong to, PIKAISOC. When we had the AGM, one of the things I had put to the board and also put to the community was to sort of initiate capacity building track for the board to consider putting that in place. And it has to transcend the meetings. And so for those of you who come from similar jurisdictions like us in the Pacific, where we are 22 countries scattered across the sea, face-to-face meetings can be a challenge. And I'm sure that it's a similar thing for Africa. And I note that some of the ALSs are spread across vast distances. And so also the issue of communicating over the Internet. For some of the developing world, bandwidth is expensive. For example, in Solomon Islands, one of the countries in the Pacific, to access 20 megs is $300, right? So, and that's just for the average end user. So there are challenges. Or there's some other jurisdictions in the Pacific where spam kills your bandwidth. So in terms of web conferences like Adobe, participation on the Adobe, bandwidth is a huge, huge problem. So in terms of capacity building and designing mechanisms for ALS engagements, I experimented last year when I couldn't come to Toronto, ran two tracks. And in fact, I was targeting 15-year-olds to 30-year-olds. And it ended up that we went to, there was so much interest that the oldest that attended was this 60-year-old person and professionals from various organizations. And they were interested in critical internet resources. In fact, for the first time, some of them were like, oh, IPv6, oh, ICANN. And so Save, who's the ICANN representative in the Pacific, from Global Partnerships. He was able to, even though he came for the PACANET meeting, he was able to physically be present and participate. And I must say, Heidi, remember the brochures that you gave me in one of the previous conferences? They came in handy. So what I would suggest in terms of a practical, and even the RIRs like APNIC, they were very supportive in terms of physically sending their trainers, the regional trainers, to facilitate trainings on the ground. And I suppose from a practical perspective, the ALSs who are present in today's meeting, if they can ask Heidi, can you give me some of those brochures and you take it back home and organize something for 2 hours, 3 hours, just talk about ICANN and whatnot. But it has to start somewhere. The discussion has to start from somewhere. And so you can't talk about DNS if they don't even know what ICANN is. So it has to be a layered approach. And so hopefully through the capacity building workshop, ICANN Academy, and various other initiatives here, we should be able to see some traction.
Thank you very much, Sala. And next is Rinalia. And the queue is closed now because we do need to get moving afterwards. So, and Dev, you've had enough to say earlier, so we know you've got technology task force tomorrow. Rinalia and then Jose Arce. Rinalia, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Rinalia Abdurrahim for the transcripts. One thing that I realized about the policy development in ICANN is that if you are new to ICANN and you want to participate in the policy development, traction or effective participation happens at the beginning. When they launch the process, then the uptake is easier because then you start at the same basis. If you're coming in midstream, it is really difficult to try to understand what is going on because even though you have the document repository, the context is missing. So my suggestion for the ELSs, in addition to having capacity building that explains in brief that these are the issues, if you're interested, go and join this working group, and it happens that that working group is already midstream, ask if you could have the chair to perhaps spare some time before a particular working group call or after to talk with the newcomers, to explain a little bit of the context or at least explain where they are. Because if the chair were to take up the actual meeting time to do this explanation for the newcomers, it is at the detriment of the work process for the rest of the working group. So if somehow the chairs are willing to do that, then we could balance that a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Renalia. That's a very interesting idea. I've seen a lot of nodding heads. There's also another, which staff has reminded me of, actually, one way of getting more comments is to when we send a request for comments from the community, have a little sideline on the wiki that explains how that might affect internet users. So, in effect, that brings it home. Rather than, would you like to comment on the RAA?
What is the RAA? I don't know. I don't care. Would you like to comment on something that is going to affect you in the future and make you pay more or less, lose your rights to do whatever you want? You know, it just brings things a lot more home. And I see a lot of nodding heads, so perhaps that's one thing that we would need to do. I'm not quite sure whose job it would be to do this. Hey, Matt! Policy specialist! Yes! You got to earn that ring. Yep, another flag. You might move on to having a blue one first in class or sometime. Okay, next is Jose Arce. You've been zapped.
Hello, how are you? I'm going to speak in Spanish, so if you please, can you put your headphones?
Good afternoon. This is Jose Arce for the records. I just wanted to make a brief comment regarding this topic in order to supplement Fatima's comment. We have been dealing with this topic or issue in Lacrallo for quite a while, and we have become sort of specialists in engaging ALSs a little bit more, and we have devoted plenty of our energies to this initiative. Of course, I thank Fatima and Natalia for creating this capacity building program that we have been implementing since last year. Personally, I do not think there is something that can suit or fit the five regions. I believe that each region may have different realities. I do not know all the other RALOs and their specific realities, but each of these RALOs might go deeper into the reasons or the causes of why people are not engaged or do not participate. Because if you seek participation without knowing the causes of the absence of participation, then it could be useful to convey surveys as we did, or to communicate with each of the ALSs to find this out. This is something I wanted to bring to the fore. Sylvia, Natalia, Fatima, and myself spoke about this while we were having lunch, and Fatima raised our awareness, and she said, what you really need to do is to speak with each of the persons that integrate the ALSs. And I myself in Lacrallo, I have not done so. I don't know about the other RALOs, but I believe this is what we should do. We should take our time to speak with each of the ALS representatives. We have two representatives per ALS. In some cases, we have more persons, but we need to take some time to speak with these people. And Sylvia, prepare a survey that Fatima mentioned. And the survey enabled us to identify certain things. For instance, people are interested in topics that are not debated within the at-large community. So this is alarming or worrying. We have ALS representatives that apparently do not know what we are debating or what we do here within ICANN. They put forth issues for debate that are on other fora agendas. At least since I took over the chair of Lacrallo, I have noted that there is a critical factor in our region, in Latin America and the Caribbean, regarding absence of participation. And that has to do with unawareness or lack of knowledge. We are trying to go deeper into that to find out the reason of that lack of awareness. We have a relatively new working group in alignment or in line with the capacity building working group. That is the Lacrallo leveling working group. The aim of that group is
to work with the ALSs, and it targets ALSs or potential ALSs so that they are all leveled at the same level, and that will be useful to the entire community. In short, the idea is to bridge that gap. If an association or organization applies for ALS membership, the idea is that that organization should be able to participate fully immediately, because sometimes a newly elected or appointed, rather, ALS do not know what to do or how to proceed when they become a member in the region. We do have excellent materials, such as the beginner's guide, which we send to the newly certified ALS. And I think that in most cases, the recipient does not read the material. The material is very good in itself. I think that the failure is the channel, the communication channel. So that is why with this leveling group, we are focusing on the channel of communication. So we do not want to have this gap between the newly certified ALS and the fully engaged ALS. So this is not going to be a mandatory training. However, we do want ALSs to have the opportunity to access that information by means of a friendly channel, not only by email or in the form of a document. So we are tackling this problem from the root cause, maybe from the stage prior to the ALS certification within our community, and I believe we will reach very good results in the short term. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jose, for this very comprehensive detailing of what you're doing in Lacrallo. I'm well aware of what's going on in Lacrallo, so I'm following what is going on from a certain distance, of course, but still following. And I think it was important for you to enumerate the work that is currently being done in your region. It's something which I would suggest other RELOs should be looking at as well. If we're going to build things bottom-up, then building the RELOs, building the engagement at RELO level and building it up is probably going to have more of a chance than the ALAC trying to push things down onto the RELOs and get the RELOs to do things or else. Garth Bruin?
Yes, thank you. This is Garth Bruin. Well said, Jose. I think that we as officers within at-large have a responsibility to make a bottom-up process work by reaching down the ladder, because those who are truly on the bottom can only get to where we are with our help. And that's why we have to reach down to our ALSs, find new ALSs who are not at the table. And I spoke about it this at length during our Neuralo meeting this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Garth. Now, I'm well aware of the time that is passing very quickly. We're supposed to move on now to the ALAC Finance and Budget Subcommittee. This was actually just a placeholder so as to announce that there would be a second round of requests that one can file. Just before that, I wanted to thank you for the input that we got on this discussion. I'd like the discussion to continue, though, because ALS engagement and having the questions and policy and things. Thank you for the music, from the top all the way down to the edges is really important, and I see it more as a problem of communication than anything else. Bidirectional communication. Yes, it takes work. It takes hard work at all levels, but it's like the weakest link, isn't it? There just needs to be one link in the chain that fails and the information doesn't get through. And at that point, we lose complete parts of the world. I think it's very sad that this happens. So there's certainly more work to be done in this direction. Finance and Budget Subcommittee, well, quick announcement. So there's going to be a second round. The first round of RELO requests initially we thought we could batch all of the RELO requests together and have them all approved in the fast track.
the fast track being any requests that would be required for events taking place before the end of October 2013. But now, since it appears a number of railos have somehow missed the deadline and it was a little bit rushed, we will have a second round. I believe that it's, I don't have the exact dates for the deadlines in front of me, but it's probably, Evan, do you have the dates? Evan doesn't have the dates, he's just waving at someone behind me. Great. The second round of railroad requests, we will send an announcement out to the lists, and the Finance and Budget Subcommittee will be looking at those. I think Tijani was first, first Tijani.
If you are asking about the date of the deadline for the second, it is 19 of this month. So please hurry up.
Okay, thank you. Glenn McKnight?
Glenn McKnight, for the record. Are you talking for the budget for the fiscal period this year or next year?
FY14.
Thank you.
FY14 starts, I remind you all, starts on the 1st of July 2013. It's bizarre. So these are the FY14 requests. That's why we were asking for a fast track, is for anything that starts happening between the 1st of July 2013 onwards. Evan Leibovich?
Yeah, hi. I'm not waving at anyone anymore. This is Evan. My question, and I guess the same question keeps coming up, is these budget requests keep getting tossed over the wall, and occasionally some get accepted, and occasionally is there any way of finding out ahead of time which particular strategic priorities drive what gets accepted and what gets rejected? Because the traditional problem has been we submit things, and then the answer comes back, well, this didn't get put in because it didn't meet with, you know, the strategic plan cause du jour for this year. And I wish we could know ahead of time what parts of the plan would be of interest, so we're not wasting the time of volunteers putting forward projects that really wouldn't get in, but they wouldn't tell us in advance that they wouldn't.
Thank you very much, Evan. Over the years, the process has evolved. There was a time when we were tossing things over the wall and not getting any answer. Last year, we did get some feedback, although some of the feedback was a bit strange. For example, the ICANN student crisis was nothing to do with ICANN. ICANN student crisis was nothing to do with ICANN. Well, of course, it's not an ICANN event per se, but it is something that is related to ICANN. So it's very bizarre to have had such an answer. The strategic priorities, Evan, are in the strategic plan. And I do not know whether we would be told whether one of the strategies was more important than another one of the strategies at the time, and I don't think that we would ever be able to find out if that's the case or not. And I will hand the floor over to Glenn McKnight. And then back to you, Evan, afterwards.
Yeah. And Glenn McKnight, for the record. It's one thing mapping a financial request to a strategic plan, but if there's an overabundance to – there's obviously five or six strategic plan items. If the financial requests are gravitating to one or two and the other strategic plan items are totally ignored, there must be a weighing system in the process of selection, I assume.
Yes, thank you, Glenn. Some of the weighing system is done by the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, depending on whether it fits the priorities of the plan. But there are, in most of the requests, they've all been submitted at the same priority, because we really leave it to the ICANN finance process to deal with it. Now, ICANN finance has in the past come back and said, if you had to make a choice, which one would you go for? And that's when the engagement comes in and the discussion back and forth comes in. Evan Leibovich and then Tijani Benchema.
Yeah, I guess my concern has been about the lack of transparency in the way that the particular strategic priorities get determined. ALAC has never put forward, to my knowledge, a project that hasn't had explicit listing of meeting the strategic plan issues for any particular year for any particular strategic plan. They haven't been passed through. And so everything that we have sent through has met some of the strategic priorities. It's just, I wish we could get told ahead of time on any particular year where the slant was. And you're shaking your head, but this level of opaqueness in not knowing, okay, we got this big strategic plan, what we really want to do is focus on these three things, but we're not going to tell you which of those three things they are until after we've made our decisions. This is a very, very frustrating process to go through, and it wastes volunteers' time.
Thank you very much, Evan. I'm going to ask Heidi who the XCOM is going to meet with on Friday. Are we meeting with Xavier Calvez or someone from the finance?
No. This is Heidi. You're going to be meeting with Steve Crocker, David Olive, Steve Antonoff.
So perhaps Steve Crocker would be able to let us know what the strategy is this year specifically.
Sorry.
Well, we have Sebastian Bachelet who's with us. Maybe Sebastian would know a few.
Sorry, but a point of order. That would be board strategic priorities, not necessarily what the finance people have interpreted that to be when they pick what projects to fund and which they don't. The board may have its ideas. By the time it filters out to what projects get approved and which don't, that can take some very interesting shifts.
How does it work, Sebastian?
First of all, as you know, there is no new strategic planning this year. It's something starting, and I think it's important to be involved in this discussion in the next few months. When the different ISO and AC put a request, it go to the finance team at the staff level. They put a list, and they say, this one we will support, this one we don't think it's a good idea to support. And, for example, we get, if my memory serves, 24 different projects from all the ISO and ACs for the fourth month of the budget of the fiscal year. And they suggest to take 12 of the 24, and the board finance committee accepts that, and it will go to the board, and the board will make the final decision. Now you are asking for the next eight months of the year. I know that Rinalda said me I am biased, but frankly speaking, if next year it's the summit, push the summit. If you want to have different issue, different thing, different, we will get into trouble to explain why the main project and there are others. I can understand that you want to do other things, but sometime you need also to decide what is the more important, where you want to put the more part of the money. And I just want to raise that it's not yet a done deal. I know that there are a lot of people who agree to have these summits, but it's necessary to have to take care. Then it's part of how you want to present and see. My impression, and I have no, there is no rules written, but the answer very often it's, is it linked with an ICANN meeting or not linked with the ICANN meeting? It's one type of the answer. For the rest, it's really depending on the level of money. And it's not just to tell you this one from you, it's not accepted. It's also to see the overall project, what is happening in the others. For example, there were a lot of projects of outreach, and staff decide to put all that in one bucket and to take that into account and to not take each project from each SO and AC in this arena. Then it's some ideas that they are already on the table about this subject. That's what I can say about the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. And we are running out of time, and we should even be speaking to you about something else as well. So I'm just going to take Tijani and then Jean-Jacques Subrenat, and then we'll move on to the next part of the agenda to speak for about 5 minutes, because in the meantime, we're eating up into the Apirello GA, so I'm well aware. Tijani.
Sébastien, je pense que tu n'as pas répondu à sa question. Evan ne parle pas de cette année.
Sébastien, I don't think you've answered his question, says Tijani. Evan's not speaking of this year and of the summit in particular. He's speaking in broader terms. In fact, his question was asked previously, and I understand perfectly. It's just that as of last year, going back to the strategic plan, in fact, and every year there's a project which goes through a public comment period, and every year we prepare a statement on this strategic plan. So if we have something that we have to change, or if we see that the priorities are not right, we can say it. So we have the possibility of having an impact on that, of changing it, or instead of commenting on it, it may not be taken into account, of course, but at least that's an opportunity we have. The last year, the assessment was done together with us. And I remember perfectly well that because I represent ALAC before the Finance Committee, we held a special teleconference for me to explain what the criteria is when we evaluate and choose and assess proposals and requests. That was transparent. They used that criteria and the results. You saw what they were. I'm not happy with the results either, because as Olivier said, when we speak of ICANN and we say that ICANN uses something or a means, we should say that ICANN cannot fund one event or one ICANN meeting, which is not logical either. But that's the reason they should have given us. So, to my mind, you speak of opacity. I don't think it's opaque. I think it's transparent. Maybe not just enough. It's transparent to me. But I hope in the future we can do better. If not, we should read the strategic plan, and if we contribute to the statement we write, the result will be closer to what we want. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And lastly, Jean-Jacques Subrenat.
Thank you, Chair. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenat. So much for business as usual. I'd like to take up something different, which is the way forward. Why? Because we're coming into a new world. Potentially, ICANN is about to have a financial income of an order of magnitude superior to what it is today, possibly. Even the chair said so this morning at the board alumni breakfast with the current board members. So I think this is the time when we as the ALAC should be thinking even further than what Tijani mentioned, planning ahead, 1 year ahead, etc. No, we have to be braver than that. Now is the time, I think, to fix ourselves more ambitious goals, objectives, and to have this prepared in time to put out our arguments to the chair and to the CEO in the coming months, so that when this new windfall becomes available, we are ready. If we go on talking only about business as usual, we'll miss that opportunity. So what is it that we can think of as worthwhile objectives and objectives we may defend as legitimate on the part of ALAC? One, I think, is already to think about a third summit in a few years from now. But having a summit is fun. But what for? So we have to define the objectives before we think about the numbers. A second thing we would want to do is to assemble all the things we have failed to do these past few years with budgeting. For instance, why is it that up to the very last moment it is difficult to find out who will be supported travel-wise to attend IGFs and other such events outside of the purely ICANN world? the question fundamentally is, do we believe that participation by ICANN, by ALAC in outside of ICANN events of a certain magnitude is important? If the answer is yes, we have to prepare for that. It won't come from the staff. It won't come from the financial department of ICANN. It can only come from us. So my short message is, one, planning, yes, but fix the objectives first in a brave way, and then the figures, you will be able to align them. So my last point is a very specific request to Tijani as the representative in the financial sector and to you as chair, Olivier, to take note of this and start working on this right now, not in 1 year's time, but right now, because the windfall may be announced earlier than you think.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. And I'm told by Heidi that the issue of the last-minute travel to the IGF has been now resolved, or at least addressed with the fast-track request, so that the request can be coming earlier. One of the problems was that the budget was only approved in July, and then the two summer months were generally a little bit woolly, less people working, etc., and the IGF was immediately afterwards, so you ended up with last-minute green light to purchase tickets, etc., thus not making good use of the resources that were at hand, especially with travel issues.
True, but I just like not to limit ourselves to the IGF participation. I was just giving one example in a category, so we'd have to make a catalogue of that category.
Yeah, it's Olivier again. There's a policy versus implementation thing here. I think the policy was designed, the implementation was not particularly great on that occasion. We really are running out of time, so a tiny little word. You've got 30 seconds, Salah, and I will cut you off 30 seconds from now. I'm looking at my watch. Go ahead.
Salah, for the transcript, support Jean-Jacques' statement. We really need to have a long-term strategy. And also factor in potential things that we would like to do and link it to the deliverables as well as the budget allocations, and not to be restricted by the presence, whether we have funds or not, and to things like network operator group meetings and that sort of thing, which our ICANN officials readily attend, and we can also have parallel ALS capacity building tracks.
Thank you very much, Salah. And that closes the discussion on the budget. We can continue this afterwards offline in the mailing lists, and we can continue, of course, with the Finance and Budget Subcommittee. There are members in the subcommittee that are in charge for each region, and that should liaise with each one of the regions. So check the page if you don't know who your representatives are, and then hound them. Right. We have Sébastien Bachelet with us, coming here to speak to us about the ICANN meeting strategy working group. So an update from Sébastien. You have the floor.
Nine. I don't have time, then I will talk in English to avoid the time for my colleague on my right to take his headphone. Okay. On your left too? No, I was talking about that. Okay. Just to tell you, you remember, we have a proposal for a meeting organization for the next few years. We put that in the comment period, and the answer from two regions, mainly Africa, but also Latin America, was quite in disagreement, and we decided to take that aside. We take the decision to organize a meeting almost at the same way that it was organized before for 2014. The only thing we have done is to exchange the European meeting with the Asia-Pacific meeting. But in the year, next year, the three meetings will stay at the same place. Then we decided to create a meeting strategy working group to handle the question of how we want to organize the ICANN meeting in the future with all the questions about the number of meetings per year, the what is the purpose of a meeting, where it will be done, and so on and so forth. Everything is open at the discussion, and you have there are five members of at large who are participating to this meeting, to this working group, and you are welcome to give them inputs because it's, I think, important for you to not just leave them to do the work, but to be your convener to the working group to give ideas. The goal is to have something ready. We are a little bit late, and it will not be for Buenos Aires. My goal is to have something ready for the end of the year with a decision taken by the board at the end of the year. That will allow some discussion in, of course, telephonic discussion, but one face-to-face discussion in Durban, in another one prior to have the final document in Buenos Aires. You know the five person from each of your, or the one from each of your region, member of this group? Maybe you can wake, stand up please, like that you will recognize for each region. As you can see, we try, it's not always easy, thank you very much. And thank you for the other who put their name. We appreciate a lot, and it's we try to balance regionally. We try to have a gender balance, not totally, 7 women, 9 men, but some of the LSEs, some of the SO and ACs give us just no choice about the gender balance. And some newcomers and some old-timer with NICAN. Because the goal was to have as much as possible real discussion, and I hope that it will be done. Then the first meeting will be on Thursday morning. It's an open meeting, but the meeting room is smaller than this one, and there are 21 members of the working group, plus 2 board members and 3 staffs, and if you want to come, you can, but I don't know where you will stand in this room. But it's open. No. It's not. It's we can't find another room to do that. That's the main issue, and really, your input will be welcome. No, I am not the chair. You take the floor if you want.
I'm just asking. Thank you, Sebastian. It's Olivia for the transcript. Is this a subliminal message that you're trying to send, that ICANN is growing and we're running out of space, and you're starting with the working group itself is running out of space in its own room? Any questions? And I do realize AP Rallo is going to be quite annoyed if we spend too much time discussing this, but any questions? You've seen who your representatives are in that working group. There is one per region. So if you have any overarching issues, then I really urge you to speak to your representatives so they bring it over to the table in that small room. Or, I'm not sure you'll be able to make it there. So bring it over to your representatives and have that brought forward. I know how touchy this issue is, because when we did have a public comment period on that, there was some pretty strong input from regions that were losing out. So, okay, thank you very much, Sebastian. And this concludes.
And thank you for your input.
Thank you.
Have a good work.
Thank you, Sebastian. This concludes our afternoon's work for the ALAC policy session two. Now, I have to remind everyone that there is a cocktail with the board. Could I have the details, please? Heidi, could you please read through those?
This is Heidi. And for the board cocktail with the ALAC tonight, that starts at 6 p.m. The meeting room is in the foyer, second floor near the boardroom. So we staff will be leading you there.
Leading us there.
Leading us from
well,
where?
Actually,
are
they, you're right, you're right.
Our staff all over Beijing and they'll take us there? not who, not who, you.
But then the ISOC is at 7%.
Right, could, we don't care about the ISOC, we're dealing at the moment with this. Okay, could
once,
we have...
Once staff find out where the boardroom is, well, actually, Sebastian, where's the boardroom?
Are you going to the drinks for yourself?
You want me to come here to take you to the place? Yeah. Okay, I will come back.
Yeah.
No problem.
What time? Problem solved.
We're not all going to be here.
I'd like to have some professionalism, please, at the end of this meeting. Could we please have who is invited, whether it's ALAC, at-large, everyone?
This is Heidi, and again, it's ALAC, at-large, regional officers, AP Rallo ALSs, at-large.
So everyone, basically, who... Excellent. Perfect. Where, please?
So again, my instructions are foyer, second floor near boardroom. That's what I have.
Okay, so... Second floor here, there is a foyer that's right next to the boardroom. The boardroom, I believe, is the room that we met with this morning.
No, that's the Grand Hall A.
Is that Grand Hall A?
Okay, we'll find out, and we'll put it onto the at-large Skype chat where exactly that is.
Okay, and we'll herd people in that direction at some point. Thank you very much, everyone, and have a very good evening. See you in a couple of hours, and good luck to AP Rallo to conduct its GA. Thank you. And thank you again for the interpreters who've done an amazing job. And the audiovisual staff who have also done fantastically well. So thank you.